Life is full of adventures in the shape of places, people, and experiences. And in retirement, it's your turn to choose what those adventures look like. Whether you want to travel, fish, hit the beach, or see grandkids, it's important to take time to connect to your dreams for retirement. Welcome to the Delaware Retirement Connection with your host, Len. As a certified life coach and certified financial planner, Lynn combines life coaching and financial advisory skills to help retirees identify and fund their life goals, hopes, and dreams to make their retirement as amazing as they want it to be. Now, here's Lynn.
Thank you for tuning in to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with my wife, Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Lynn. Nice to be with you.
Always great spending time together. And we're going to talk about a subject that we've addressed slightly in other programs, but we're going to address it head on. We'll be talking about reconnecting with your profession identity. I'm not saying your professional identity. We're talking about your profession and the identity you had in your profession while you're working. And of course, many of our listeners are here in coastal Delaware and are retired. And when we think about retirement, really, what is retirement? Well, retirement is a cessation in our work, professional careers. And when we retire, whether we're a doctor, whether we're a teacher, a police officer, a carpenter, whatever, we're going through life and we're doing this work. And we're not just doing this work. It's really part of who we are. It's a very important part for many folks. Why? Because we spend so much time in the workplace. Our workplace could be a third or maybe more of our waking time in the course of a week. So that becomes a big part of who we are. And then when we are a retired police officer or teacher or a medical doctor, what we are when we retire is no longer a police officer. And so we have this loss of identity, and we have folks who retire who miss that part of who they are because they're not able to work. They're not able to reconnect with that important part of the life, and they have this missing void. And so, Joyce, I know you can't speak from this from a profession standpoint because you've been really a full-time mom with our four children for many years, but you do have, I know, perspective from people you know, from family members who had a career. And then when they stopped that career, they had a void in their life that they had to fill. So do you have anyone that you would like to discuss on our program? And how did that look like for them? What was your observations?
My mom was a nurse, and that was her profession all of our lives growing up. But when she did choose to retire, one of the things that she really wanted to do was to open a group home, which was like a continuation, really, of her nursing profession. And she turned our home, since all the kids were gone, into a group home to house primarily for the main purpose to be able to take care of my niece.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what a group home is for our listeners.
Okay, a group home is, in my limited perspective, is probably a licensed place where someone can take care of mentally handicapped men or women. Sometimes some of those homes can be all women, or they may have a combination. But they take the home and convert it and license it to be able to care for them.
So you're talking specifically about your niece who was mentally handicapped, and your mother wanted to take care of her, right? So group homes are just community structures where people have special needs are cared for with people who have similar needs in a group setting where they can all have their needs met somewhat more efficiently than just a one-on-one, right? Because your niece was quite severely handicapped, and she needed a place. She couldn't live independently.
That's correct. So this was an opportunity for my mom to be able to use her profession as a nurse and be able to use her home to kind of continue her nursing profession.
So that's really very interesting. Here's really, I think, a classic example. Your mother is working in her career. She retired. She had Social Security. She had pension. Her house was paid off. So her basic needs were met. And she got paid by the state of California to have these folks live in her home. And they paid her to do that. But she had expenses. And do you know, financially, and without being too personal, but she didn't really make much money on that, did she, Joyce, as far as you know?
Yeah, that part I don't really know much about.
But I think also from that perspective, the finances weren't that important to her, right? She wasn't doing it for the money.
Correct.
And that's what's important, I think, for our listeners to tap into is when people are working, they have a very meaningful identity. And I talk a lot about this in the book I wrote, Maximizing Your Retirement. That book is available on maxamazing.com. You can get a digital download of that. It's also available through Amazon. You can purchase it. And we're proud it's a best-selling book. And what I talk about is when people are working, their identity is a very important part of who they are. And of course, work provides income. But when people retire, they may not need the income from it, but they're missing that meaningfulness in their life. So when your mother was a nurse, that was a very meaningful, fulfilling part of her life. Any stories you can point to where you knew that your mother felt a lot of satisfaction through her career?
Well, she would always express the beginning of her nursing profession as having started in New Jersey. And every time she would come to visit us when we lived there, she had to go to the place where she went to the hospital, where she and her sister and another cousin all came as nurses. So nursing, whether it was here in the States or, you know, going back to the Philippines for a while, that's been very important to her in, you know, just her love of her profession and camaraderie with her sister and her other cousin that both ended up also in the nursing profession.
So it's really interesting when you look at what she's trying to do with her life at this stage of her life. She's looking to make an impact. She wants to have some kind of impact on people that she's concerned about, she has relationships with, and she has a compassion for. Your mother has always been a highly compassionate person, always cared about individuals. And being that her niece was handicapped, had this cognitive disability, she felt a great concern for her. And so what's important for our listeners to be thinking about is when they look to reconnect with their profession identity, a big component of that often is the need to make an impact. In my book, Maximizing Your Retirement, I talk about three things that would make life amazing, three categories of anything you can do in life that would make your life amazing. One is impact. And that's one thing we see with a lot of our retired friends, people who come across, even clients who are retired. They want to make an impact. And that's very important for folks for life to make a difference. And when their profession had been important to them and they're not able to continue that profession because they chose to retire, there's still impacts of that they want to press into. Is that the way you think your mom would have expressed to Joyce? Just, you know, I really, you know, want to make a difference in people's lives through an impact?
Absolutely. And, you know, she worked with rehab patients. And so this is a next step in caring for actually a family member goes beyond, you know, just any patient, right? So she's always had that love. Like you said, the compassion was always there in her professional life and her personal life. It just flowed out. And having her be able to take care of my niece in this way, I think was a big satisfaction to know that she was caring for her sister's daughter. That's who she actually was. So again, another nurse. So it's just a full circle of being able to continue the profession and be able to also connect with the family.
What's also interesting is when we do that, when we do connect with that important part of who we are, and it gives us fulfillment, it also gives us a lot of pleasure. And a lot of times folks think, I need to be enjoying our retirement. But when you connect with these important parts of your life, it does also give enjoyment. And what'd be interesting to talk about, Joyce, is how your mom enjoyed that work she did and some of the trips that she went with her lady clients, I think you call them, right? You call them clients,
yes,
in her office?
And definitely she made sure that she took them on vacations so that they would have the enjoyment of their time with their friends in the home. They would go to Hawaii. I remember that trip. And, you know, travel across to the other parts of the U.S. and just take a road trip, a bus trip, fly there. She would make sure that at least once a year, the ladies made time to take a vacation together.
And I'm just kind of thinking, you know, that's one of the reasons why she didn't make a whole lot of money in her little business. She was spending it, you know, connecting these ladies. You know, so what's so fascinating is here you have a lady, your mother, who's a nurse, has a part of her identity that's been very important to her for years and years. And she retired and she wants to connect with that. And how she connected with that, with her beliefs, her values and character with her niece and other ladies she had no relationship with, but in a way that was meaningful to her and these ladies in a group home, and in a way that was enjoyable to both of them, is really, I think, a wonderful picture. And I think will inspire a lot of our listeners to really think outside the box and what they can do to reconnect with your professional identity. I'm talking to the listeners now, to connect with that fulfillment and with that very important need for enjoyment. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. We'll be right back after a short break. We'll have a guest that I know that you'll want to hear from. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Excited for retirement? All that daydreaming can be time-consuming enough as it is. So why not get a little help with your retirement planning? Give Lynn a call at 302-501-7711 and see where you stand in retirement. What if you ordered a pizza, but when you opened the box, a couple of pieces were missing? That would be upsetting, right? Now, think about how much you believe you've saved for retirement. Do you still owe taxes on that money? Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and his team at Dedicated Financial Services understand the importance of tax planning and can help you reduce the impact that Uncle Sam has on your retirement. Give them a call today to start working on your retirement tax plan, 302-501-7711. Now may be a great time to lower your future tax liability. Create a retirement plan today so you can get as many slices of your retirement pie as possible. Call Lynn at 302-501-7711 today and schedule your visit. That's 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services and may not give tax advice. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DedicatedFinancialServices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Barbara Tenney, MD, Child Advocate. How's that for an introduction, Barbara?
Very nice.
Well, it really just says a little bit about what you're doing right now, but I would like you to tell our listeners a little bit about your professional background.
Okay. Well, I went to Jefferson Medical College, which was the last medical college in the country to take women. And I, at the time I went in 1967, my class had 160 men and 16 women. So it was an interesting experience. I then, after I graduated from Jefferson, I did my pediatric residency and ambulatory pediatric fellowship at NYU Bellevue in New York. When I finished that, I went on the faculty at NYU and was director of outpatient pediatrics at Booth Memorial in Queens, which was one of their affiliates. One of my interests, both in medical school and in my residency, was child abuse. So while I was a resident, I set up the child abuse team at Bellevue. And in 1978, I went to West Virginia University Medical School. And at that time, West Virginia was going around and saying they didn't have child abuse in West Virginia, which clearly was wrong. And so one of the family practice faculty had done a chart review and showed them that they were missing a lot of child abuse. So when I went, they asked me to set up a program, and we basically trained the state. We trained everybody who was required to report child abuse, and we consulted on cases for a 5-county area. In 1991, I went back to New York as the director of pediatrics at Booth Memorial, and was there until I took a sabbatical to have my daughter. And I then went down to North Carolina. We first were in Wilson, North Carolina, and then I went on the faculty at East Carolina University. And after 7 years there, I decided to find out if what I'd been teaching worked. So I joined a group practice in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and finished my career practicing in Pennsylvania.
So that's a lot of details there that we're not getting, Barbara. There's so many stories, I'm sure, between there. But suffice to say, you've been a pediatrician for a long time.
Yes.
You've practiced pediatrics. You've taught pediatrics. You've been involved in sort of an overview or a oversight of pediatric practices, and you've also been involved in the whole area of child abuse and helping detect it and really, of course, obviously help solve it and, and really protect these children. So there's a great experience level. And then you retired. You retired from your medical practice a few years ago. And so what did life look like after that? And I'll just also mention, in my Max Amazing Your Retirement book, I talk about how often people retire, they lose their identity, or they set aside their identity. Because when we retire, what are we? We're a retired medical doctor, or we're a retired teacher or retired police officer. And so what we are when we retire is no longer a medical doctor, no longer a police officer, no longer a teacher. We lose that identity. So what did you do when you retired to try and do something or be someone that would be fulfilling for you?
Well, I think what I did was look at the two things that were my great loves, and that was children and education. And so one of the first things I did in retirement was I started to volunteer at Primeros Pasos in Georgetown, which is a bilingual preschool daycare center. And I used to go weekly and read to the kids. And doing that, they asked me to be on the board of directors. So I started on the board of directors. My other passion is college education. So for the last 9 years, I've chaired the board of trustees at Wilson College, which was my alma mater. And since I just finished my 9 years, I was looking for something new to do and saw an article in the paper about CASA. And CASA is the Child Assistance Support Agency. And the CASA volunteers basically are assigned to kids that are in foster care. And their job is to represent the children's best interest. So I applied and was accepted into the program. And I've just completed my 30 hours of training and have been assigned my first case. So I'm now in the process of learning exactly what I have to do to present the best interest for my kids.
So how exactly do you do that, and what does best interest include? What's the scope of that?
Well, the scope of that is I meet with my assigned kids. I've recently gone to the foster home that they're in, and so I get a chance to talk to the foster parents and see what their evaluation of how the kids are doing is. I also attended a court session where the Department of Family Services plan for the biologic parents was laid out and what the parents have to do in order to have their kids returned to them. And I will be at some point in the future getting to meet the parents and hopefully see them interact with their kids, try to figure out what's going to be in the best interest of the children. Obviously, what we're looking for is to come up with a permanency plan, and that means where the kids will be permanently. Hopefully, it would be back with their biologic parents if the biologic parents can complete the program and show themselves ready to be parents. And if not, then it may be to be adopted or to be in a guardianship, a permanent guardianship with a relative. There are a lot of different possibilities.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Barbara Tenney, MD, a volunteer, a child advocate with CASA, which stands for Child Advocate and Service Association.
Something like that.
Close to that, okay? Barbara, tell our listeners how they may want to connect with CASA, if that might be something that they're interested in. I know you don't represent the organization, but folks may be interested in getting involved like you have. How can they find out a little bit more about the work?
They can. CASA has offices in all of the counties, and they could find out about it from the Department of Family Services. Basically, we work with the Department of Family Services to represent the kids and to try to get the best solutions.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of work that needs to be done within that organization. So I'm sure they would be helpful, happy to take any help they can get.
They need volunteers because, as I said, there's supposed to be a CASA appointed for every child in foster care. There are a lot of kids in foster care.
Yeah, I can certainly imagine. Talk a little bit about the child population that you could potentially serve. What ages are we talking about for these children?
We're talking about from birth to 18. It could be, sometimes it's at birth, a baby is detected as having drugs in their system. That could be the first clue that there's a problem. One of the things I really like about Delaware, and it's not true for a lot of states, but in Delaware, everyone in the state is a mandated reporter. If they see that some child is being abused in some way, the law requires you to report it. And that's really important. So you might see a child being left alone when they're too young to be alone, or being left alone in a car, parked car, and possibly being overheated. There are a lot of things that could send someone a signal that they should let somebody know.
And I think it's so important for people to understand the advocacy concept because, let's face it, a lot of people who live here have lived in a privileged lifestyle. Not to say that they haven't worked hard, but they've had wonderful circumstances. They retired here and life's pretty wonderful. And sometimes I think we can forget that the life we live is not necessarily representative of the entire world, right? You know, the needs for children are so potentially great. And the idea of advocacy really realizes that these children, they need someone to come alongside them. They can't. You know, you have a child of obviously an infant or even a teenager just doesn't know what they need.
That's true. And I think one of the other things that's really kind of important to realize is that a lot of abusive parents were themselves abused as children. And so they don't know how to parent. They don't know how to nurture their child. I had worked with a foster father in Pennsylvania who was one of the best foster parents I'd ever seen, and he had been abused as a child. And I asked him what helped him get past that. And he said two things: his grandmother, who had been very loving and nurturing, and his wife, who finished the process.
Okay. And still ongoing, I'm sure, if you ask his wife, it's still happening. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree, with Barbara Tenney, MD, child advocate with CASA. We'll be right back after a short break. Thank you for listening.
Enjoying the show? Check out Len's book, Maximizing Your Retirement, at maximizing.com. Dedicated Financial Services has a question for you. Is your retirement inflation-proofed? Here's what we mean. In retirement, chances are you're on a fixed income with variable expenses. So how do you not run out of money when the cost of just about everything continues to go up? You inflation-proof it. Lynn and the team at Dedicated Financial Services can show you strategies to help combat inflation so it doesn't outpace your retirement income. Call us today at 302-501-7711 to learn more. Inflation could take a huge chunk out of your retirement savings, but it doesn't have to. With some simple planning, inflation can go from being a major disruption to a minor annoyance. Call Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and the team at Dedicated Financial Services now and start inflation-proofing your retirement today. 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Barbara Tenney, MD, child advocate. And we're talking about really specifically Barbara's interest in child advocacy, how that'll happen for her. But as we're talking about it, I would like our listeners to be challenged to consider who you are and what living your life goals, hopes, and dreams may look like. We'll be talking a little bit about how Barbara thought through this in her own life and how she connected with very important passions that she had. But we don't want this program just to be relevant to Barbara. We want this to be relevant to all our listeners. So as we talk about these different, as I ask Barbara questions, I'd like you to think about, for yourself, listeners, how you would answer them based on who you are, what's important to you, so that maybe some things that we talk could spur you on to do wonderful things that you'd be excited to do with your life. Barbara, let's talk a little bit about how you made the connection between the profession component of your identity with your interest in child advocacy. You did mention about some of your passions, but how did you specifically say, okay, I'm a retired medical doctor, but if I do this work as a child advocacy, I'm not giving up an important part of who I am?
Yeah, I definitely don't think it gives up. I think it basically expands the area. I think when you're in retirement, what you have a chance to do is look at the things that you really like to do, or something that you might like trying to do that you've never done before. And I think that that's what retirement gives you an opportunity to do. My late husband got into politics. He became a town councilman and an HOA board member, so that he was doing things he'd never done before, but that interested him. And I think that that's important, is you need to look at the opportunities and things that you might like to try.
Barbara, you said that, of course, there's that interest, but you also mentioned in our previous segment about the idea of passion. You're passionate about something. Mm-hmm. And for me, the idea of passion connects with identity and who you are. Because if you're just doing fun stuff, but it's not deeply rooted with your identity, it doesn't have quite that meaning, that fulfillment. Do you sense that fulfillment from what you do? Because you are a medical doctor by training. You are a concerned person. That's part of your value system.
Yes, I think that's valid. I think the passion can be sometimes it can evolve a bit in retirement. So yes, my passion is kids. I really enjoy working with kids and being with kids. And I want to see kids have healthy lives, and I want to see them develop well and normally and get a good education. So those are all things I'm passionate about. And that being a CASA kind of incorporates all of those.
Also, I think it's very important, Barbara. I don't want to speak for you, but I think what you also do is you're pouring yourself into these people and you're making a difference in their life. So it's not just something that you do as an expression of who you are, but you see great purposefulness in this stage of your life.
Definitely.
Yeah. Barbara, you had told me the previous conversation, which really had an impact on me, I have to say, when I wrote the book, and I'll tell you where it made that impact in just a second after you answer the question, or you talk into it. You had said that early in your career, when you were just starting as a pediatrician, you saw that as your life calling. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, I very early knew that I wanted to go into medicine, and specifically pediatrics, because I really liked kids. Now, it's kind of hard to believe now, but when I was a kid, I was very shy. And when I told my parents that I wanted to go into medicine, my mother went over and signed me up to be a candy striper to see if I really liked it. And so I went to candy striper training, and my first day as a candy striper, I was with another candy striper, and we were delivering flowers. And she was going into the rooms and taking the flowers and going, "Hi, I have flowers for you," and da, 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 and talking to people. And I was just very quietly watching. And after about three rooms, she got called to do something else. And she said, "Well, you see how it's done. Go ahead and do it." So I took the cart and I went to the first room and I went in and I said, "Hello, I have flowers for you." And the woman said, "Oh, fine, put them over there." So I did. And I went out and I went to the next room and I said, "Hello, I have flowers for you." And the woman said, "Oh, how pretty. Please bring them in." And she said, "Could you read the card for me? I don't have my glasses." And I read the card and we started to talk. And it was truly like somebody had flipped a switch. I really liked working in the hospital. And in fact, one time went with one of my cousins to pick something up. And when we went in and saying hi to people and I came back out and got in the car, and my cousin said, "Do you know you're a different person in there?" And I said, "Yes, I am really happy in there." And that kind of was the final decision that I was going to be a pediatrician.
Well, it's very interesting. I talk about what I refer to as internal longing and also an external leading when it comes to a life purpose, something that we've always wanted to do or something that we feel like we have to do. And it sounds like for you, Barbara, it's a combination of the two. One, you always wanted to be a physician. You always felt that's something you wanted to do. But when you got involved with children, like to ask you to talk about how that switch went on, that you said, "Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help young people in my life."
Well, I always liked working with kids. I used to work at the YWCA and teach swimming to the kids, and I used to teach gymnastics and things like that. So I always liked working with kids. And in fact, my high school yearbook says aspiring pediatrician, not aspiring doctor, because I just knew from the get-go that that's what I wanted to do.
Well, that's very powerful. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Barbara Tenney, MD, child advocate with CASA, really trying to use this stage of life where she can use her sense of identity as a medical professional, as someone also who really cares for young people. Barbara, we talk in my book, Maximizing Your Retirement, that's available on maximizing.com. We talk about the idea of impact and how impact is something that can help people really experience, you know, an amazing retirement. How does the idea of impact drive you to do what you do?
That's a good question. I think most of us want to feel that what we're doing is having a positive impact on our community, our family, our life, the lives of those that we care about. So, yeah, I think definitely we want to do that.
But it's not just having any kind of impact. We want to have an impact for something we have a passion for, something that's really part of our identity. Because if it's just an impact that isn't really deep-seated to us, it doesn't give us that fulfillment that we really want it to.
Yeah, I mean, we want to have a positive impact, and particularly in areas that we care about.
In my book, I also talk about what I refer to as core soul needs. And I talk about identity, life purpose, which we talked a little bit about. I also talk about love and peace. You did talk about your passion for children. How do you get empowered by the love that you, I'm sure, experience from those children that you're an advocate for?
Well, I think you definitely feel it in your heart and your soul that if you're making a difference and having a positive impact in an area that you really care about, that gives you a sense of fulfillment.
Yeah, I would think it would. And I think even you told me your stories about what you used to tell your children when they went to Disney World about bringing back a picture. Tell about that, because that's a love connection. Talk yes. a little bit about that.
Well, I happen to love Eeyore. And so when any of my patients would tell me that they were going to go to Disneyland or Disney World, I would tell them that they had to find Eeyore and tell him that Dr. Tenney said hi. And they would come back with pictures of them with Eeyore. In fact, two of them came back with a picture of Eeyore holding a sign that said, "Hi, Dr. Tenney."
I just love you to tell that story. We also want to talk a little bit about a peace, a sense of well-being when we in retirement do things that we feel is a way that we express who we are, gives us a sense of purposefulness with people I have a relationship with. Talk a little bit about how that helps give you a sense of peace, a sense of well-being in this stage of your life when, like everyone, you have your own trials and difficulties and concerns.
Well, I think having something that you really care about and are doing and that you can see a positive impact from it, it definitely lightens your spirit and keeps you feeling positive and energized and want to continue what you're doing.
Is there anything that you feel, Barbara, you need to do to keep yourself excited and keep yourself motivated about this stage in your life where you're trying to really make that difference? Is there anything that you have to really focus on to keep going?
That's a good question.
I try to ask some good questions.
Nothing that I can think of. I mean, taking care of myself and being healthy so I have the energy and can keep doing the things. But other than that, no.
Do you feel you have to really pour into your own identity, developing your identity, your skill set to be here? Is this something that's just a natural part of who you are?
I think it's a natural part.
And certainly the less you have to input into something like that, the less work there is to live out your life, the more just enjoyment you can get from it.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us, Barbara. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, talking about how to live your life goals, hopes, and dreams, and making an impact in retirement. We'll be right back after a short break. Thank you for listening.
If you want to catch more of Len's Maximizing Your Retirement, tune in Sundays at noon on Channel 47, ABC News. What if you ordered a pizza, but when you opened the box, a couple of pieces were missing? That would be upsetting, right? Now, think about how much you believe you've saved for retirement. Do you still owe taxes on that money? Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and his team at Dedicated Financial Services understand the importance of tax planning and can help you reduce the impact that Uncle Sam has on your retirement. Give them a call today to start working on your retirement tax plan, 302-501-7711. Now may be a great time to lower your future tax liability. Create a retirement plan today so you can get as many slices of your retirement pie as possible. Call Lynn at 302-501-7711 today and schedule your visit. That's 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services and may not give tax advice. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're talking about connecting or reconnecting with your professional identity. And I'm not talking about going back to work. I'm not talking about giving up your retirement. That's not my intention at all. But I am talking about reconnecting with who we are or who we were when we were working and experiencing fulfillment through our occupation, through our profession. So let's talk a little bit about that. Many of us have worked most of our lives. Some of us were privileged to not have to work, or maybe we inherited assets. Everyone is different, but the vast majority of people have worked to sustain themselves over their lifetime. And what did you do and why did you do it? Many different reasons. Of course, we did it because it supported us. But what you did in your profession was largely tied to what you wanted to do, what you were perhaps good at, what you enjoy doing, what you felt reflected who you are and what you wanted to excel in, something you wanted to dedicate yourself to. And generally, you don't do that with things that aren't important to you, and you don't do that with things you don't enjoy, and you don't do that with things that you don't want to do. Obviously, sometimes with work, we have to do what we don't want to do. But the idea is when we're working, very often, we have this concept of meaningfulness through our work. And that's very important to consider, because when we're working over extended period of time, whatever the occupation is, what we're doing is really becoming more like an individual who does that kind of work. And it might sound like I'm talking in circles, but let me be very clear. When we do certain activities, the way we do them really affects who we are. It shapes us. And it creates a certain value system in us that becomes, in effect, who we are. So let's give an example. Whatever it is, you might be a teacher. You might have been a teacher. You might have children who are being teachers. And you graduate from college and you start teaching. And, you know, you're teaching children in the local elementary school or middle school or high school, wherever that might be. And you're doing certain teacher things. You're doing a class instruction. You're preparing class notes. You're giving doing grading. You're interacting with the students. You're interacting with parents, administrators, and really what you're doing over time is you're becoming a teacher. Sure, you're doing teaching from day one. But the more you do it, the more you become a teacher. And what I mean by that is you start thinking like a teacher. You start acting like a teacher. You start having characteristics of a teacher. It might affect how you conduct yourself outside of your work, where maybe you're being a little bit pedantic and maybe teaching people around you. Some folks might laugh. They say, I know someone like that. But the idea is when we're living out our life, when we're living out who we are, that gives us a sense of life purpose. But when we're doing those things, that makes us more like that person. And when we do it over an extended period of time, and it's important to us, we enjoy doing it, we're good at it, we become that person. And what happens is when we retire, and we're a retired school teacher, or maybe retired physician, retired police officer, doesn't matter, whatever that profession is, when we retire, what we are is no longer that. So if I'm a retired teacher, what I am is no longer a teacher. My identity is no longer a teacher. And the reason that's important to understand is because when I retire from an important profession, something that's really part of my identity, I lose that sense of identity. And what I need to do is I need to replace that with another meaningful identity for me to feel good about who I am, for me to feel good about my identity. And if I don't replace that with another meaningful identity, I'm going to feel a sense of loss. So what happens is when people retire and they have unlimited discretionary time, they can do whatever they want to do. They're free to pursue many different activities. Of course, mostly what people pursue is doing things that they enjoy. But let's talk a little bit about what that might look like. When we're doing things that we enjoy, it's often for recreation, not giving a whole lot of thought necessarily how that ties into who we are, what's important to us, but we just enjoy the different activities. Well, if those activities aren't tied to a meaningful identity, those activities are not going to give us the fulfillment that we've had while we were working. Now, I'm not saying let's quit retirement and go back to work for fulfillment, but what I am saying is that when we're doing things that are not giving us fulfillment, are not tied to identity, then we feel our retirement is a little bit empty. We feel a sense of loss. That's why when people retire, sometimes they go through a little bit of a mourning. They really do. They feel like a little bit of a loss. They feel that they've had an occupation that was very important to them, that was meaningful, it gave them a sense of purposefulness. Maybe it was a prestigious position. People were reporting to them. People admired them. They had a lot of responsibilities. They were sort of a big shot. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but they felt accomplishment through their work. And then they retire and they are no longer that occupation. And that occupation is no longer feeding their need for a meaningful identity. There's that loss. And so what's important to do when retiring, when we're retired, is not to just consider what we're doing that's enjoyable. We want to really consider who we want to be in retirement. We want to be thinking about what are those things that we're getting involved in and how they are eventually shaping who we become. Because when we do a lot of things, just like when we're teaching, we over time become a teacher. The things that we do in retirement, we become that person. And what we want to be careful of when we're retired, that we don't do just a bunch of recreational activity that's not tied to something that's important to us, a meaningful identity, because what will happen is over time, our identity will become a full-time recreationist. We will become someone who lives for recreation, and recreation will be our source of identity, and our recreation will be something that we gravitate toward. Recreation is going to be something that we're going to want more and more of, and maybe demand more of, and have an entitlement to more recreation. And the problem with that is, as is enjoyable as that might be, that might not give us meaningful fulfillment that's going to give us a satisfaction at a deeper source or sense of who we are. So what we need to be thinking about when we retire is we need to be thinking about who we are, what's our beliefs, values, and character. Think about the work we did, not just the details of our profession, but also what are some of those aspects of our profession that we did that were meaningful to us, that reflected who we are, that was an outgrowth of our beliefs, values, and character. And when we think about that, we start really considering those very important parts of our lives that we were living out while we were working. Our identity was lived out through our profession, but we can't do that when we're retired because we're no longer working. We need to be thinking about who we want to be, whether it's related to those skill sets, whether it's related to aspects of our profession, and maybe also related to our character that we need to have to be in that profession. And when we do that, we start identifying different parts of who we are that were important while we were working. And we had that opportunity to express that, but we don't as retired individuals. And so what we need to do is we need to identify those aspects that were important to us and then pair them with different activities that we could do that we can live out our identity in a form of a life purpose. And now this gets to be a little bit introspective. This becomes something that we have to really give more thought to. I have a resource that may be helpful to you. If you go to maxamazing.com, there's a workbook that's accompanying the book, Maximizing Your Retirement. You can access that workbook without purchasing the book. But on the website, there's also a way you can get a copy of that at no cost. Just look at the prompts on that website, maxamazing.com, and you'll find out how you can get a copy of that book. But the workbook is structured to help you think about all your different parts of your identity. It's all listed out in that resource, but it includes many important parts of our lives. It includes such things as your profession when you're working. It includes your family, community. It includes such things as faith. For some folks, it includes their intellect and abilities. For some folks, their wealth is a part of their identity. And so when you're thinking about these parts of your identity that that resource walks you through, you want to be thinking about different facets of life, that's also spoken about in that resource that you can engage in that are an outgrowth of your identity that you can engage in to live out your life. And so when you're living out your identity, doing those things that you do, that gives you great purposefulness. So when we look at our occupation as a teacher, we're doing different teacher activities. We're teaching children, we're interacting with parents, we're preparing lesson plans. All that gives us great purposefulness and a sense of fulfillment. Well, we need to transfer that same concept into retirement and find those facets of life, part of who we are, that are tied to our identity and give us a very satisfying sense of fulfillment and purposefulness in our lives. Again, you can find more about that in Maximizing Your Retirement. And that book is available through maximizing.com and also through amazon.com. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor.
Leonard P. Haydachuk is an investment advisor representative of SGL Financial, LLC, and offers insurance services through this SEC-registered firm. He also offers insurance products and services in Delaware as an individual licensed and appointed insurance agent through Dedicated Financial Services. Dedicated Financial Services has a question for you. Is your retirement inflation-proofed? Here's what we mean. In retirement, chances are you're on a fixed income with variable expenses. So how do you not run out of money when the cost of just about everything continues to go up? You inflation-proof it. Lynn and the team at Dedicated Financial Services can show you strategies to help combat inflation so it doesn't outpace your retirement income. Call us today at 302-501-7711 to learn more. Inflation could take a huge chunk out of your retirement savings, but it doesn't have to. With some simple planning, inflation can go from being a major disruption to a minor annoyance. Call Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and the team at Dedicated Financial Services now and start inflation-proofing your retirement today. 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm.